Hey, everybody. Welcome in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. Day two of pitchers and catchers reporting today in Sarasota, and some early arrivals as well, as Rakabako has been reporting a little bit this morning, this here on Wednesday morning. Some of the players who are coming early to join the Orioles in Sarasota for spring training: Anthony Santander, Trey Mancini, Austin Hayes, some of the guys who are not pitchers or catchers but reported today. And of course, the arms and the backstops getting into Sarasota yesterday, and it's almost baseball time. But on the podcast today, we are going to continue our player preview series, and we are going to again look into one of the new Orioles here in 2020, and a guy who we pretty much know, unless there's an injury, that he will be on the 26-man roster on opening day, March 26th, against the Yankees. And that is the Orioles' new shortstop, Jose Iglesias, whom they signed back in January to a major league deal, 1 year, $3 million, with a club option for 2021 if he produces like the Orioles hope he does. But in reality, if he produces well, also a guy that could potentially be traded at the deadline this year. Iglesias spent 2019 with the Cincinnati Reds on a 1 year free agent deal with Cincinnati, hit .288, a .318 on base in 146 games with the Reds, 11 homers, 21 doubles. He was worth a win and a half in the WAR category for the Reds last season. Of course, before he was with Cincy, spent all that time with the Tigers, and he was signed by the Red Sox as an international free agent back in 2009, then came up with the Sox in 2011. Really didn't have a full season till 2013, but if you remember back then when the Red Sox won that World Series in 2013, Jose Iglesias was a big part of their first half of the season, kind of pulling together wins. He was second in the AL Rookie of the Year voting that year and was having a great year. And then at the deadline in 2013, the Red Sox put him in a three-way deal and sent him to the Tigers. That deal ended up getting the Red Sox the right-hander Jake Peavy to add to that rotation down the stretch, as they ended up winning it all that season. And then Iglesias had a productive about 5 years with the Detroit Tigers. He was an all-star in 2015, 1 year with the Reds, and now it looks like he should be a starting Orioles infielder, most likely their starting shortstop. Always been a defense-first guy, but he can definitely hit for average, just kind of a free swinger, struggles with the on-base percentage, not much of a power hitter either. That's kind of the quick scouting report on Jose Iglesias, but to give us the longer version is someone who saw the Reds play all of last season. That is Jeff Carr, the host of the Locked On Reds podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And Jeff joins us today to break down Jose Iglesias and tell us what he saw in his one season with the Reds and what the Orioles can expect from Iglesias in 2020. So right into our conversation here with Jeff Carr.
No one really correctly valued Jose Iglesias, I think. I think there were folks that overvalued him. They thought that he was the answer at shortstop for the foreseeable future for the Reds. And then there were folks that undervalued him and didn't see the accomplishments that he had on the field. He's one of those quintessential players that the eye test and the numbers just don't match, because what you saw him do on the field was awesome. But then you looked at the numbers and some of his hitting statistics, and you're just like, was this the same guy? Oh, okay.
And I think that's kind of a good place to start, because, like, you know, it's a .288 average last year, but he didn't really get on base much more than he was hitting. And the 11 home runs, you know, that's kind of a small number, but that's a power surge for him. So, like, how overall did Reds fans kind of see him throughout the year in 2019?
I think for the most part, we really liked him. The first place to start with him was his expectations were almost nil. The Reds brought him in as a non-roster invitee to spring training. and he was basically going to be depth. He was going to be their backup shortstop, and then Scooter Gennett got hurt in spring training, hurt his groin and missed significant time, and due to that, they had a hole at second. They were actually going to start Jose Peraza at shortstop, and so then they moved him over to second base, and they kind of had a carousel at second, but Jose Iglesias moved in as the starting shortstop and really kind of solidified and put to bed any kind of worries that the Reds fans had with shortstop. But he really put to bed any worries that folks had about shortstop, because he was a really good fielder, which I know in today's game can be debated with all the different shifts and things like that. But you plug him in at shortstop, he'll take care of pretty much the whole left side of the field. Dude's got good range, good glove, good arm. Made some really dazzling plays and reminded us of a fellow who used to wear the number 4 and play second base, in Brandon Phillips. But overall, he's really good. You mentioned the on-base percentage not being much higher than the average. That's going to be the case. He is a free swinger. He doesn't look at very many pitches. That's going to be kind of a frustrating point for Orioles fans. They're going to be like, man, when is he going to take a pitch? The weird thing about him was, though, if you look it up, and the number was pretty decent, but he had a really good 2-strike average. He's really good at shortening up his swing, fouling pitches off, and getting that one pitch. It's just he swings at so many 2-strike pitches that he's bound to hit one of them.
And you mentioned defense, especially. I think kind of the aura around Jose Iglesias around the league is that he's a defense first guy. He's actually never won a Gold Glove, which I was a little surprised by when I saw that. But he's got a lot of highlight plays in his career. So you look at his value. You know, you saw him basically play one full season with the Reds. You know, if you didn't know anything about him before that season, just looked at 2019, do you think you come out of it as, you know, Jose Iglesias right now at 30 years old is a defense first shortstop, or has that gone a little bit for him? Because I know early in his career he was everywhere with making defensive plays.
I still think that I would say he's a glove first guy. I know the 288 average is intriguing, but I definitely wouldn't peg him. I mean, we've been spoiled, right? Reds fans have been spoiled, and I think Orioles fans have been spoiled too with really good shortstops in the past. So Orioles fans are going to understand what they're getting out of Jose Iglesias. They're not going to hold him up to Cal Ripken, just like Reds fans didn't hold him up to Barry Larkin. But at the same token, I think what you get out of him is going to be a very positive thing. And if they're holding him over, I admittedly don't know the Orioles prospect situation, but if they're holding him over for a shortstop prospect, then they've got a pretty good dude to bridge the gap there.
If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Orioles is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Orioles fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listeners, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Orioles fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. Yeah, and it's actually kind of interesting for the Orioles shortstop situation. They had Richie Martin last year, who was a Rule 5 pick, who they kept on the roster. A great defender, young guy out of the University of Florida, who was a really high draft pick and never really panned out, I believe, in the A's system. But he just couldn't hit. The average was around 180. And the shortstop prospects aren't really close to the majors. So Iglesias does have a team option for 2021, which it's intriguing if he plays well, could be back. That kind of brings me to my next question, you know, pertains to the Reds somewhat. You know, biggest reason not to bring him back, was he blocking someone in Cincinnati that maybe he was more of a bridge guy for a year?
That's the interesting thought, because they got Freddie Galvis from Toronto, but I don't necessarily think anyone thought, oh, hey, well, now that we got Freddie Galvis, we can get rid of Jose Iglesias. Really, they're both similar in that one of them is a glove-only type guy and the other is a bat-only type guy. Although there have been recent metrics, like that new outs above average thing, the outs above average stat actually had Iglesias and Galvis as equals, which, I mean, I guess that's a good thing. But overall, the Reds didn't actually have a shortstop prospect. They've got a guy in, like, high A right now, but he's not anywhere near the majors, so he wasn't being blocked. But Reds fans kind of thought, okay, well, they're not bringing back Jose Iglesias. Maybe they're making a big deal. Maybe they're going to trade for a shortstop or something like that. And that still hasn't happened either, so it was interesting that they chose to move on from Iglesias, but at the same token, there wasn't a ready-made clear cut. Because they had Freddie Galvis, but I wouldn't say that he was a better, like, oh, you obviously have to get him in at shortstop.
Yeah, and it's interesting that he ends up now in Baltimore, and I think he might have a good chance for the club to pick up that option in 2021, just because there's not really anyone kind of pushing him at this point. But back to his production from last year with Cincinnati, the number that kind of stands out for him is 11 homers. He never hit more than four or five maybe in a year in his career. Also had 21 doubles last year. There's two ways to look at this. Home runs were obviously up last year. People talk a lot about the baseball. Do you think it was just that, or was there something else that maybe it looked like he's trying to turn into a touch more of a power hitter late in his career?
I think it was probably more the baseball and maybe a smidge more that he was playing in Grand American Ballpark than it was he was trying to adopt a new power stroke. At the same token, this is kind of where the eye test jumps in that most of his home runs came at very key times. He would be the guy that if the Reds were down by two, he would come up and hit a two-run home run to tie the game and put them right back in it. He was pretty good at the whole drama thing with that. So the 11 home runs, it's not going to impress you, but I don't think and that's kind of his advantage, is that he's at a position where what you get power-wise, you almost thank your lucky stars because you're not expecting it. And I think he's going to provide some interesting moments with the bat, maybe with a power stroke or something there in Camden Yards or a couple of the other places in the American League East, especially that one stadium there in New York. I don't know if you guys like to talk about it or not, but he might be able to hit a couple home runs out of there.
A lot of people get some home runs there, and even Fenway Park guys get some. If you go the other way, right around Pesky Pole, sometimes you can luck your way into a home run. But from watching him in all of 2019, Jeff, and seeing what he could do in a Reds uniform, and you know, when you look at his next season, now he's with Baltimore, there's a little less pressure, obviously, with Baltimore. Had he gone back to Cincinnati, you know, that's a team that's looking to get to the playoffs in 2020. The Orioles are not in the same boat. So looking at what he did and what kind of team he's on, what do you feel like is best case scenario for Jose Iglesias 2020, and what do you think is worst case scenario as it pertains to both him and what the team is getting out of him?
I think obviously best case scenario is he stays completely healthy and gets to play the whole year. He's definitely a guy that whenever I looked at the numbers and things like that, you always thought, well, okay, the Reds can definitely do better, but I never necessarily disliked him for that reason. I think the 280 average might be kind of his ceiling. He's probably more of a 260, 270 hitter. But at the same token, I think he can at least keep up some of the slugging. There's not a whole lot of slugging to keep up, but he can put in a timely extra base hit whenever you need him. And then defensively, I mean, I'll stand behind that. You don't have to worry about the left side of the field. For the most part, unless you just got, Is Chris Davis still playing third base?
No, but unfortunately he's still playing, but he'll be at first base or as the DH.
Okay. The good news is he could pretty much carry whoever's at third base. I mean, the Reds had a decent third baseman defensively in Eugenio Suarez, but Jose Iglesias really covered up any flaw that Suarez typically had. He's the guy that's going to make sure that if you guys got a lot of ground ball pitchers and they just go to the right or go to left side, then he's going to cover that.
And so hopefully for Iglesias, at least, I mean, on an Orioles team that is going to win about 50 games, obviously you'd love the 280 average, double digit homers, but I think you're right there that you want health from him and you want him to be able to gobble up some shortstop or some ground balls, a shortstop at the very least, give these young Orioles pitchers who are going to be up there kind of fighting for their lives at the major league level some confidence when the ball gets hit on the ground to short. So Jose Iglesias, a 2020 Oriole, and last thing for you, Jeff, about Jose here. I mean, he leaves Cincinnati and you obviously talked about Freddie Galvis and the Reds not choosing to re-sign him, but looking back on 2019 and he was there, do you feel like the Reds got pretty much the most they could have out of him, just looking at that he was a minor league deal and ended up being a starter?
I definitely think that they got a really good deal. It was funny because in the first part of the season, they had a really good performance from Derek Dietrich, who was a non-roster invitee. But for the whole season, they got a great performance out of Jose Iglesias. So they got really lucky in that they were able to turn him into something out of just a spring training invite. I kind of agree with their take if their simple take is, you know, we don't see him as a playoff caliber shortstop for us and we want to kind of move on to somebody else. But I also think that he is a very viable shortstop and somebody who's going to do pretty well for the Orioles. I think Orioles fans, you're going to see some interesting takes in that you're going to know where he fits at in the Orioles lineup, but you're going to have folks, Orioles fans, or he should probably bat second or something like that. So just get ready for that. That happened a lot in Reds country last year. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time for the Reds and that they're hopefully jumping into the playoff picture after some years of obscurity. And I know the Orioles are kind of going through some rough years right now, but I do take away, like, from those years, the Reds really saw some interesting players.
All right, Jeff. Well, thanks. Thanks for joining us. And the Orioles and the Reds do face off this season in Cincinnati, right at the beginning of September, it looks like. So hopefully when Jose Iglesias makes his return to Great American Ballpark, that the Reds are right in the thick of things in the NL Central and trying to get back to the playoffs.
I'll look forward to that. And when he comes back, I will be there to celebrate the year that he spent in Cincinnati.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Thanks for giving us some Jose Iglesias and some Reds insight, obviously coming from a team that is on the up and up. The Orioles going the other way, but hopefully for Cincinnati, kind of a team I like, and they've got some good players, and hopefully they can take over a Central that's been somewhat vacated by the Cubs not doing anything this offseason.
Hey, thanks for having me, Connor. I appreciate being on.
So again, our thanks to Jeff Carr, the host of the Locked On Reds podcast. You can listen to that one too if you'd like here on the Locked On Podcast Network. But some good insight into Jose Iglesias. And I think really the best point he made is look, as long as Iglesias isn't blocking anyone at shortstop this year, which he's not. I mean, we know about Richie Martin, but he didn't really have the bat last year. And the Orioles could probably use Martin getting some more ABs at the minor league level, I'm sure, this season. But Iglesias, a proven major league shortstop, and he should be the everyday starting shortstop, at least in 2020 for the Orioles. And I think that'll be a good pickup for the O's. Now, speaking of O's pickups and infielders, they did make another roster move on Tuesday as we finish up here on the pod. As Pat Valeka, who we remember talked about a couple weeks ago, you can get that episode back in the archives. We had Jake Shapiro on, who covers the Rockies, to talk about Pat Valeka, the infielder.
The Orioles placed him on waivers now for the second time this season, but Falaka did clear waivers, so he's been outrighted to Norfolk. And the Orioles claimed another infielder. It's Ramon Arias, a 25-year-old utility infielder. He can play every position. He's played a little outfield as well, who has never played in the big leagues. Most recently, he spent most of last season in AAA with the Memphis Redbirds. That is a AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Battled injury a bit last year, missed about 30 games, but played most of the year there. In 96 games with Memphis last season, he hit .263, did have a .369 on base percentage last year, and he was able to hit 9 home runs last season. Pretty good defender who can play everywhere, but again, he does not have any major league experience. Did play down in the Mexican League from 2013 through 2017 before the Cardinals signed him before the 2018 season. And he's really spent 2018 and 2019, well, a little bit of AA, but mostly AAA with St. Louis. Never made it to the big leagues, put on waivers, and the Orioles scooped him up. So another potential infielder that could make this team as the utility guy. There's a lot of options in that realm of utility infielders for the O's. So just keep an eye on him, and we should have a preview episode for Ramon Arias coming up at some point as well. But here on the pod tomorrow, we are going to preview an infielder who is new to the Orioles, but it's Richard Urania, who the Orioles saw in Toronto with the Blue Jays the last couple years. The Orioles picked him up this offseason, and he's going to vie for one of those utility infield or potentially starting infield spots, depending how he plays in the spring. And to talk about Richard Urania tomorrow, we're going to be joined by AJ Andrews. She is the host of the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. So that is what we have coming up next here on the pod. If you like what you're hearing so far, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you are listening to this podcast at the moment, and give us a rating and a review if you can. Remember, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.